as it gets. Good afternoon, everyone. This is the Conference Committee on Justice Appropriations and Criminal and Civil Justice Appropriations. At this time, we call the meeting in order and ask the Administrative Assistant to call the roll.
Senator Bradley?
Here.
Senator Altman? Senator Clemens?
Here.
Senator Diaz de la Portilla?
Here.
Senator Evers? Senator Joyner?
Here.
Senators at large? Senator Gardner? Senator Margolis? Senator Richter? Senator Smith? Senator Thrasher? Representatives McBurney?
Here.
Campbell?
Here.
Cummings?
Here.
Dudley?
Here.
Grant?
Here.
Jones M?
Here.
Kerner?
Here.
La Rosa?
Here.
Mayfield?
Here.
Metz?
Here.
Pilon?
Here.
House at large, Representatives Baxley? Coley, Gibbons, Gonzalez, Holder, O'Toole, Roussan, Schenck, Thurston, Waldman, Williams, Workman, Young. The quorum is present, Mr. Chair.
Great, thanks. Okay, at this time, I would recognize Senator Bradley for a motion.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move to nominate Representative McBurney to chair the Conference Committee on Criminal and Civil Justice Appropriations and Justice Appropriations.
And without objection, show that motion adopted. Senator Joyner, you're recognized for a motion.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move to nominate Senator Bradley to serve as Vice Chair of the Conference Committee on Justice Appropriations.
All right, without objection, show that motion adopted. We are now formally organized. Members, you have in front of you, side by side, a proviso and backup bill, implementing bill, and conforming bills. Members were prepared to make our first budget offer. You have before you side by side spreadsheets with House Offer Number 1 and the SB 2500. And Tony, at this time, will highlight House Offer Number 1. Tony?
Thanks, sir. Good evening. The spreadsheet in front of you is similar to the format that we used in earlier committee meetings. At the top are columns for FTE, general revenue, recurring, non-recurring trust funds in total. The Senate bill, 2500, is to the right, and House Offer Number 1 is on the left. And the far left and right have line numbers, which I'll be referring to as I go through this. You will notice the shading. If an issue code or a line item is shaded all the way across, it's because both House and Senate agree to that issue in each of their bills. So in future meetings, just so you'll know, as long as those don't change, then we'll hide those rows in the future. So we'll focus on the issues where we're still apart. On the House offer sheet where you see some of the cells shaded, that represents a change from our House bill position, and it's part of our House Offer Number 1. So if it's shaded, that means we've changed something from the House bill. With that, I would go to line 10A. The House provides funding for anticipated food service cost increases for certain religious diet accommodations. This was the number 5 priority of the Department of Corrections. Line 11, the House went to the Senate position on price level increase for work release centers. Line 13, House went to the Senate position on price level increases for substance abuse providers. In line 14, House went to Senate position on transport buses. On line 17, the House went to the Senate position on funding for the CEJIC, but does not designate the facilities. This will provide approximately $5 million more for in-prison substance abuse treatment and education. Line 18, the House went to the Senate position on basic education funding. And line 19, the House and the Senate are the same. However, we expend the funds differently. So if you'll allow us to work with the Senate, we'll get those issues hopefully resolved. In line 31, the House went to the Senate position on the inmate verification pilot program. On line 34, the House increases funding for salary laps. We were at $6.4 million in our bill. So this is an increase of about $2.6 million. On line 39, the House increases funding for community corrections substance abuse treatment by $1 million and makes the funding recurring. On line 40, the House went to the Senate position on Operation New Hope. On line 44A, the House provides funding for ex-offender reentry center in Pinellas. On line 46, the House went to the Senate position on repairing the kitchen at the Tomoka CI. Go to the next page. Line 47, House adjusted the fixed capital outlay to $5.5 million. On Justice Administration, line 55, the House went to the Senate position on IT infrastructure replacement. On line 57, House went to the Senate position on JAC workload. On line 64A, House provides funding for court reporting services. This would increase their deposition appearance fees from $50 to $75 for the first hour. Under guardian ad litem, there are no changes. I would say that on line 73, both House and Senate match on funding for increased staff to represent children. Go to the next page. State attorneys. Line 93, the House removes funding for state attorney workload. This issue is being moved to administered funds in Chair McKeel and Chair Negron's budget. In the budgets of the state attorney, public defenders, the regional conflict council, and the state court system, these workload issues have all been pulled out of our allocation and moved to administered funds. So you'll see that recurring. Line 93A and B, the House increases trust fund authority to match proviso for insurance fraud and workers' compensation fraud positions. Line 94, House went to the Senate position for crimes against the elderly prosecution unit. Line 96, House went to the Senate position in reducing federal trust fund authority. In line 97, House went to the Senate position, and we offer no vacant position reductions. In line 101, the House went to the Senate position on electronic filing funds, except that we did not offer an FTE. In line 102, the House went to the Senate position for additional trust fund authority. In the public defenders, line 117, the House removes the workload funding, which again moved to administered funds. In lines 118 and 120, the House went to the Senate position for clemency for capital cases. These issues are tied to the clemency conforming bill. Next page. Under public defenders appellate, the House removes funding for the public defender appellate workload, which again moves to administered funds. Up under the capital collateral regional councils, the House went to the Senate position for building rent on line 143. On line 144, went to the Senate position for IT infrastructure replacement. Line 145 went to the Senate position for additional trust fund authority. Line 147, House reduces the operational support to $200,000 and two FTE for the middle and south regions. And on line 148, we went to the Senate position for the funding for the north region. Under regional conflict councils, line 155, the House offers $158,000 for building rent. In line 156, the House moves to the Senate position for IT infrastructure replacement. Line 159, the House removes funding for the RCC workload. Again, that's been moved to administered funds. Line 162A, the House provides $200,000 for due process costs for the RCCs. And in DJJ, turn to the next page. Lines 185 and 186, the House has adjusted its offer on shared detention with the counties to reflect the same approach taken in the governor's recommendation. The DJJ is currently promulgating a rule to reflect essentially a 43% state share of those detention costs. Line 191, the House has modified its position to $2.5 million from our original position of $1 million. In line 192, the House increases the non-recurring funding to $1.1 million. In line 198, the House moves to the Senate position for PACE Center funding. In line 201, the House moves to the Senate position for SINSFENS funding. In FDLE, line 214, the House went to the Senate position. Line 217, the House went to the Senate position expanding the cybercrime capacity. And on the next page, the Attorney General, line 255, the House increases its non-recurring funding to $400,000 for the Quigley House. In line 257, the House moves to the Senate position on the Medicaid Fraud Control Unit. In line 259, the House increased its non-recurring funding to $1.9 million for the Monique Burr Foundation. And in line 261, the House moved to the Senate position on Justice Coalition Services. And on the next page, line 271, the House went to the Senate position on clemency board workload. On 272, we went to the Senate position on clemency phone operators. And on 273, went to the Senate position on capital clemency workload. In state courts, line 287, the House moves to the Senate position on death penalty case processing. Line 288, the House moves non-recurring GR into recurring GR for the child advocacy centers. The total remains at 4.5. Line 290, the House moves to the Senate position on sobriety monitoring program. 293, House moves to the Senate position for the senior judge support. Line 294, the House moves to the Senate position for case processing support. And on line 295, the House reduces funding to fund three DCA judges and support staff. Line 296 and 297, the House moves to the Senate position. We will take contingency positions instead of vacant positions. Line 301, House moves to the Senate position in post-adjudicatory drug courts. In line 302, House increases non-recurring funding for drug treatment for drug participants. In line 303, the House moves non-recurring funding to veterans courts into recurring general revenue to match the Senate. And in line 309, the House increased its fixed capital outlay to $7.7 million. That's House offer number one, sir.
All right. Thank you, Tony. Now during the conference process, we're going to be on 1 hour notice, so members pay attention to your emails for notices. Senator Bradley, do you have any comments, anything you'd like to say?
Look forward to working with you, Mr. Chairman, and my friends in the House.
And that goes both ways. Look forward to working with you, Senator, and my friends in the Senate. All right, any questions? All right, with that, we stand adjourned.